This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 665 with guest Sammy Collison, recorded on November 28th, 2025. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a snowy Bellevue, Nebraska. We're in a full winter storm warning, which means, Sammy, we will get nothing, right?
So true.
That just
we could get
it.
1 inch or 60.
Yeah.
Never know.
It's
but probably, especially because everybody like closed everything preemptively. Like the libraries, that means we're getting nothing's
going to happen. Closed tomorrow. Public Library's closed tomorrow.
Bellevue's closed. Although yeah. Omaha's closed in the morning, but I think they're said it's for training.
Yeah. Wait, the roads, I was out this evening and they seemed a little thin. It's a Friday. It's a holiday, right? We're here on Friday after Thanksgiving. This is our annual tradition. I think we've done this 3 or 4 years or so. But anyways, let me quick say though, before we continue, big thanks to our Patreon subscribers that you guys do that each and every month. Appreciate you guys. You can join the team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. If you've been thinking about doing that, I haven't had a new one in a while. Someone sign up. Just tell me if it works. maybe it stopped working. You know, I haven't checked in a while. So yeah, check it out, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Then big thanks to you. Hopefully, I know we've missed the Big Friday sales, but Black Friday. The Black Friday sales now start in December for the next year. I think it's Black Friday just all the time now.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyways, thanks. If you head out to theaverageguy.tv, click on I have an Amazon affiliate link. Just click through it, and that's all you need to do. It supports the network. Thanks indeed for doing it. I just got one. Snow is expected in your area. Notice here on the old Mac, starting around 12 a.m., continuing intermittently until around 9 p.m., you can expect, this is what I was trying to get from our A-lady friend earlier.
Yes,
right?
She wouldn't do it.
She would not. You were there.
She would not speculate on the amount of snow. She refused to.
I asked
like
her.
Like a politician.
Six times? Like,
yeah.
Yes,
in multiple
much?
Different ways. But how much? Yeah. She's like,
didn't know. 3.27 inches is what they're calling for. So we should
that's
be
so
in
bad.
For it. Sammy, welcome back. Another year has gone by. Our goal here is to catch up a little bit with you. Hopefully you've taken a few notes. It's been a big year for you.
It sure has.
Why don't we kick through them? Let's think about January 2025.
Yeah.
And maybe start there.
All the things that have happened.
You don't
okay.
have to go month by month. But
so I was still in my, I'm just trying to like think of like where I was a year ago, which was I was still in my first year at Central.
Right.
Still kind of getting my feet under me.
Central High School.
High school. So I'm a library para at our big high school down in downtown Omaha. I can see Gallup from up on Capitol Hill. I now kind of have my feet under me. I came in starting my second year really kind of gung-ho. And I'm like, I know what I'm doing, especially when it comes to like rules and expectations, but also like goals for managing the collection and making connections with teachers. But I also started college again. This is huge.
That's exciting. Yeah,
I am once again going to college.
Yeah.
So I did 4 years at Northwest Missouri State doing journalism. Left. Didn't quite wrap it up into a degree. Piddled around with some things. Did a semester at UNO. Didn't love it. Started working. And now I am doing their Bachelor's of Multidisciplinary Studies degree, which allows me to recycle journalism credits and then tack library science credits on top. So I started that. My semester is almost over.
So when you graduate, your degree will be multidisciplinary?
Yes.
With an emphasis in journalism and
library science. Yes, okay. Basically.
So for what you want to do for libraries in the future, you're confident that's enough for them?
I think so. I think the combination of, because like journalism and library science sound like they wouldn't be related, but they're both information sciences and they both deal a lot with like public relations and public communication skills, dealing with communicating with the masses. and trying to benefit the greater good generally in an ideal sense. But also a combination of that and experience. So I'm hoping that working in libraries as long as I will have by the time I'm done with this degree, in combination with having these core classes. And a lot of these classes are part of the Masters of Library and Information Science program. Like, there are master students who take these classes. But it's also part of the teacher education school. So there's school librarians who are in the program. So it's good. It's a good mix, good networking. Yeah. I think if I play my cards right, I can weasel my way in and then potentially do a master's later. Who knows?
Yeah.
You never know. A job will exist in 20 years that doesn't exist now, and maybe I'll pivot to that. You never know.
Yeah, for sure. You, you're deploying a little bit of new tech as you went back to school. Yes. One of the items you picked up, Dr. Brian Freelander, who's regularly on the show, would be super proud of you for this. What'd you get?
I got a Remarkable, which is, sorry, the lighting sucks, but this is a writing tablet that is extremely slim. It's about the size of it's a little bit smaller than an 8.5 by 11 notebook. Comes with a pen. And because of the technology in the pen, you can write on the surfaces of its paper. Feels like paper. You can rest your hand on the screen without impacting what you're writing or how you're moving. Comes with a built-in eraser. And it's basically a digital notebook. So you get a multiple, you can have lined pages, you can have blank pages. You can import PDFs. You can use it as an e-reader. I use it as my calendar as well. Anything sensitive on here? No. So I imported a blank PDF of a calendar. And then just fill in the month. And that's my date book. Right? Yes, e-ink.
On that, e-ink.
Yes, that. So not hard on your eyes. It has no backlighting or top lighting, so it's hard to use in the dark, like a piece of paper. But I don't have that problem so much. If I am in dire straits, I get out my phone. Not hard on your eyes, extremely low power usage. I don't have to recharge it often at all. I think I've recharged it maybe 3 times since I got it a couple months ago.
Okay.
It's very good.
USB charging?
USB-C.
USB-C, okay.
This is the Remarkable 2, I believe. So USB-C port. It's not the newest model, but it's like the second generation. And I also use it. I use it a lot for class notes. Hmm. And so you have and you can scroll. The scrolling's a little slow. That's the nature of e-ink, though, is the latency is pretty high. Mm-hmm. I think that's gotten better in the newest model. And then you can swipe. Right,
from somebody.
I did buy it used from a friend.
Yeah.
For much cheaper, because they are a little bit pricey.
do you move your documents off to something else? Does everything stay on the device?
You can sync it with the cloud.
Okay.
There's also a functionality where you can circle blocks of handwritten text and convert them to typed text. And I imagine that you could export it as a PDF. I haven't messed with that a ton just because I use this primarily for my own use and I can read my handwriting just fine. But I've used it for signing documents. I import it onto the device, sign everything, and then grab it from the cloud off of my computer just through the Remarkable website, and then chuck it in an email. And that works pretty well.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of that.
What's been the biggest help for you from a schoolwork or homework perspective?
Having it all in one place. Because when I did college the first time and in high school, I've always been a handwritten note taker. I had all these notebooks. And I'm like, if I forget a notebook, I'm screwed. Like, if I don't have it, or if it gets water damaged, or you fill up a notebook and then you have to have a second one. It's always trying to cram things in. It's also the flexibility of being able to grab blocks of text and drag them around. Because sometimes I'll like make an outline for class, and then one section turns out to be like way more important than I thought it was going to be. I'm like, I need more room there. And I can just do that. I can just grab all of the notes. You can just circle it, grab it, and drag it down and make more room on the page for the new notes. And it's just so much more editable, but it's more readable than pencil. You don't have to worry about shredding your page by erasing things.
Yeah.
Or you can just hit the undo button really fast.
Do you feel like it has enough room? I mean, is there a memory indicator on how much storage you have left? You've been through a whole semester. You just had you had two classes this semester. You had a lab.
I did have two classes, but I only only used it for one class. But I haven't had any indication that I'm using up a fair amount of memory. I should look. I wonder how much memory it does have. I don't know if I actually know that.
Yeah. Just trying to think through, you know, if you're trying to do everything at once, you're a full-time college student and you're taking, you know, four or five classes and you might, you know, wondering what the memory on those things is.
It looks like it's got 8 gigs.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is not bad, especially for just
for text. Yeah.
For text.
They're basically just PDFs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the way that goes.
If at any point it fills up, I can just rip those files online and save them as PDFs and put them on a hard drive.
Right. I'm sure you could send them in mass too, if you wanted to. You could select a whole bunch of them and just ship them off, get them off the device. Anything else? Well, let me ask you this from a college perspective. It's been a couple years between the first run and now this second run, we'll call it. I think we're okay saying a second run, right?
Yeah.
At it. Anything technology wise change at college? Did you notice any big differences at all between the years?
I think just
2 years.
But it is, I did previously go to college pre-COVID and now we're in post-COVID, which is definitely like, just like a difference in tone. Definitely everybody's way better at Zoom classes. Cause like, that's what I don't have any in-person classes. It's all 100%. Asynchronous or partially synchronous through Zoom, and everybody just kind of like gets it. Everybody knows about the raising your hand on Zoom and using breakout rooms, and everybody's better at using Canvas. Like, I feel like my college professors, it might have just been because they were old school journalism dudes that they were like, I'm not gonna use all these bells and whistles in Canvas. But it feels like all the professors now are pretty proficient at structuring their courses in a way that's easy to navigate. But I also just feel so much more confident. And so it's like, how much is it that college has changed and how much is it that I'm now a 27-year-old adult instead of an 18-year-old baby? Just a different vibe.
Does it feel different in class for you?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Because I don't feel like a subordinate to my professors anymore. I feel like we're collaborating, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of them.
Right.
I'm not afraid of their judgment. I'm like, you are a tool that I am paying for. And we're going to collaborate on my education and learning what I need to know. It's also nice to be able to apply. And I had this to some degree in journalism, but it's nice to be able to immediately apply the things that I learn because I work in a library. I'm just going to grab that lesson from last night and plop it into my work.
Yeah. You mentioned second year at Central, getting a head start with students, a better start, feeling better this year. I mean, just with a whole year of experience, is that working a little bit better for you? Yeah.
We also, this year we have a cell phone ban in place. Oh, yeah. So no, during the school day, no cell phones out in the library. They can still use their iPads because all students in OPS have iPads. But we've been really trying to, ironically, kind of low-tech, lo-fi the library. Because we're like, all of this research has come out about how bad constant access to technology is to developing brains. And so we're like, how do we get these students out of their screens and like interacting with each other? So we've been doing, we got a grant from the Alumni Foundation to get puzzles and board games and big coloring pages. We got a little bit of podcast equipment because we have a podcasting club. We got the microphone arms like you have.
Nice.
Which is really cool. Those are fun.
Everybody loves
and that's them. Still like using technology to engage with people, which we're a big fan of.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the laptop cart has kind of stayed shut away unless I'm running updates on it or somebody's really in a pinch. And phones have been less of a problem. Students are not trying to film TikToks in my library.
The old TikTok filming, yeah.
But they love the puzzles. They're big fans, which is huge and surprising to me.
Do you think that'll, I mean, that's fairly new. Do you think that'll survive and keep going? You think that
might I wonder about that, if it'll lose its novelty and we'll move on to something else. Yeah. But for the time being, I'm riding that high of like having something very easy to redirect students towards if they are caught up on homework or aren't going to do their homework, no matter how much I ask them to,
right?
To have to redirect them towards something creative or productive or social,
yeah,
rather than scrolling TikToks on their phones.
We had the desk scroll. We kicked out a puzzle this year for Thanksgiving and got it started. One of the cool things I think about puzzles, and just as low tech as they are, right? I mean, they've been around forever. But you can join in anytime, any place, by yourself or with a group of people. Mm-hmm. You can have great conversations, sip a cup of coffee, make a cup of tea, enjoy a cocktail. Like, it just works. Like, you just sit down, and no matter where you're at, you can sit down and just start looking around. Like, okay, what needs to get, you know, what needs to,
what's the next step?
Puzzle with Groot in it. And last night when I took over the puzzle, Groot wasn't, his face wasn't there. And so I made it my mission to get Groot built out.
It's a good goal.
Got most of it. We still have a little ways to go. You know, it's interesting on a puzzle. You start putting the pieces together and you're like, there's no way this piece doesn't exist. Like, you're looking for a particular, and you look. And then at some point it just pops out to you, like just becomes self-aware. It just pops out. It's like, just
becomes,
you're like, plug me in. Right. And then you got to tap
to indicate to everybody that you did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Success. Well, it's good to hear. I mean, from that perspective, you got a grant this year, right? You bought some, the grant got you some new puzzles and games and
the puzzle like board. That. So the puzzle is contained and it has the drawers that pull out and you can use as trays, like ours, but it doesn't spin.
Okay.
And it's a little bit smaller, but it's also good for if the table that the puzzle is on, we need it for class, or like rambunctious freshmen are going to come in the library and I'm like, they're going to mess with my puzzle. Yeah. I feel ownership over everything in the space, even though I belong to it and it belongs to the students as well, but I'll just yoink up the puzzle board and bring it behind my desk and keep it safe. And it has like a dust cover that goes over it on the weekends and like over break.
Oh, nice.
So it doesn't get all gross,
dusty. And
it's very nice.
Yeah. The spinning board is nice even when I was doing it solo, you know, you could like, as you're looking for pieces, you can spin the board around to like bring them closer to you. Maybe it's my failing eyes, but that was certainly helpful. Yeah. They say there's some good brain stuff that happens when you do puzzles.
I have heard that as well. It's good. It's very relaxing. It centers you, lowers your heart rate in similar ways that reading does, where it focuses your mind. There's a sewing and quilting YouTuber that I watch, and she always says, get out of your brain and into your hands. And puzzling does that in a way that a lot of tactile hobbies do. It's very good.
Yeah, woodworking. We talked with Dave McCabe a couple of weeks ago about woodworking. I'm sure that's what does it for him.
Activates the problem solving corner of your brain.
You're still knitting, right? I'm imagining that's also one of those kinds of things, right?
Yes. There's a behind the camera. There's various knitting accoutrements.
you have a lot.
There's a project literally in reach.
Do you think knitting? There you go. Do you think knitting is making a comeback? Like, I mean,
do you feel like
when you think about the community as a whole, talk a little bit about the knitting community that you
found. There was, during the pandemic, there was a huge surge in crochet through TikTok, but also as a side effect of that, knitting has boomed as well. Like, people have gotten back into the fiber arts. They were kind of a dying hobby because there was kind of a gap of, it was always kind of passed down often, because it's a very gendered hobby, often from mother to daughter or from grandmother to granddaughter. My aunt taught me how to knit when I was 10, my mom's sister. But there was less of that, less connection between, for various reasons, between the generations, less passing on of lo-fi hobbies. And so it was kind of for the first like 5 to 10 years that I was knitting, I kind of felt like a weird lost at sea. Just like a little ship like, where are all the knitters? And it was just like, I would like go to knitting shops and it would just be like older ladies who just wanted to talk about Outlander. And I'm like, I want to talk about stuff that I care about. and not just knit Fair Isle sweaters.
Right.
But it's really exploded. And there are way more young people knitting and crocheting, but also knitting. I think people needed to slow down. Mm-hmm. I think they needed a slow hobby. And also it's so cool to make art that you can wear.
Yeah.
Like I think in an era of digital art, 2D art sometimes feels less tangible, less tactile, mm-hmm. and less common. More people do digital art than like physical painting and drawing, I think, just because it's more accessible and more affordable because you buy a drawing tablet once and then you don't have to worry about supplies. But I think having the concept of wearable art is really intriguing, especially to me. And like, if it is intriguing to me, then it's going to be intriguing to more people as well, because nobody is entirely unique. I just love it. And it's so good. It's such a good time filler. And good for if you are fidgety and you need a fidget. I'm messing with a 3D printed fidget right now that I just dropped. But when you're talking to somebody and you just need something to do with your hands, when you get to a certain level in knitting, I can knit without looking. Just like plain stockinette knit stitch over and over. And so I'm just sitting here looking at you and my hands are just moving and I'm actually listening because I'm not thinking about what my hands are doing. They're just going. Just autopilot.
Real quick, Ken was checking in. He said he couldn't stay, but wanted to drop in and say hi. So, Ken, thanks for doing that. Brian's doing the same. Hello, Jim and Sammy. Can't join live tonight, but hope you have both had a great Thanksgiving. And so, Brian, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Brian. And
Tony Rayner says, when I saw a lady get through airport security with a 12-inch knitting needle, I had questions. Is that allowed? Can you?
Yes. You're sure knitting needles are, in fact, allowed on airplanes.
Okay.
I knit on planes all of the time. And I tend to use circular needles, so the points are actually shorter, and then there's a cable that runs between them. So I'm not using those big, long, straight needles very often, but they are allowed. They are legal. Even the metal ones. Because sometimes I do worry that, like, TSA will break their own rules and say that I can't bring them. Yeah. So sometimes I'm tempted to switch to a wooden or a plastic needle, but I just really prefer metal needles.
Yeah.
And is it's it like, it's a about as dangerous as a pencil.
Yeah. You and I went to a hockey game last Friday and you were going to take some knitting in at the last minute, kind of decided because mm-hmm. we parked far away
and I was worried. I was like, if I have to walk all the way back to the car, I'm going to miss the game.
Legit.
Because we didn't get there super early. Legit. We had assigned seats, obviously.
We got there. Yeah. We had a friend had given us their season tickets. So we popped in for that night. And,
nice.
We just popped in.
Yeah. But with stadiums and like sports venues and stuff like that, I always get nervous about it because of the violence that has happened that has caused like these rules to really crack down. TSA has to be somewhat restrained in their rules because so many people are flying and so many people are bringing all of these things to various places in the country. But like private arenas and stadiums, I feel like can be a little bit stricter. And I understand why they would be because they can.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just don't want to push it. I'm like, I don't have a clear bag. Like I'm just shoving it in my pocket. But like if I'm going through a metal detector, I'm worried. I'm always bringing like as few things as possible if I'm going into a sporting event.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea.
I just don't want to make a stink over something that doesn't matter that much.
No, for sure. And I'd have walked him back to the car for you, but it's all right.
I didn't want to risk it.
No, it's fine. It was
as my coworker at Central says, the juice was not worth the squeeze.
Correct. Yeah.
He says that a lot, and that has completely changed my worldview.
You know, knitting is an old world art. People have been doing it. Knitting, crocheting, needlepoint, some of those kinds of things, right? They've been doing them forever. Any new, we think of 2025, does technology add to the knitting experience from digital design or planning that way or some of those kinds of things? Talk about how maybe it's different. Same, but different. Same, but different.
I think the community, the online community aspect of it is huge. There, for people who, anybody who's in the knitting world knows about Ravelry. But if you don't, then you've never heard of it in your life, and you might not have any idea that there is, in fact, an entire fiber arts social media called Ravelry that is both an enormous pattern library with one of the best filtering systems I've ever seen on the internet.
Oh, there you go.
And also a very robust forum space for fiber artists to interact with each other, to buy and sell and trade materials. And then also it comes with an aspect where you can document what's in your stash and the projects that you've made. And it's everything is interconnected. So when you load up a yarn into your stash, you can then buy a pattern on Ravelry from their pattern database. And so a little bit of the money goes to Ravelry, but most of the money goes to the person who designed the pattern. And then you can automatically start a project and just link in that pattern and this yarn. And then nice. You have a project page. It's huge. And it's amazing. It's so much easier to say, I have this amount of yarn in this thickness. I want to make one of these types of things, so like a hat or a scarf or mittens. Show me patterns that'll work with what I have. And it does it. And wow. It works. And it's huge. Yeah. And it makes it so much easier to find smaller pattern designers. Because they're not gatekept by a magazine, which is how most knitting patterns were distributed before the internet, was through publications, periodicals, and magazines. And so now anybody can be a knitwear designer. I have a free pattern on Ravelry for the Santa hat that I made you.
Oh yeah.
Because I just wrote up, because I freehanded the pattern, and then I just wrote it up, put it in a little PDF, chucked it on Ravelry, and I said, hey, you can have this for free. So anybody could knit that if they wanted to. It's very long.
It's like that long. It's it's very, very, it's maybe
that's what you wanted.
2 feet, maybe. I did. Maybe, I think maybe so. 24 inches in nature, you know, whatever that is, 36 centimeters.
I think it might be 3 feet.
Think so?
I think so. Because I think a standard hat, a standard Santa hat is like a foot and a half.
Okay. Okay. Well, so patterns, I'm assuming the creation of patterns is also now tech enabled, right? In a lot of ways.
Yes. Yes. It's much easier to do charts. There are free programs online to do like stitch pattern charts or color charts. So easy to just build a PDF. There's like 8,000 ways to make a PDF. Photography and incorporating photography. Everything's just so much easier.
Looking for my hat. Tony says, why?
Where's
why
the hat?
Is he not wearing the Santa hat?
Where's the hat?
I think it's
Dad?
Upstairs. I think it's up in my drawer.
It might be.
It
might be in one of your those dresser drawers. You ought to look.
No,
maybe after a show.
No, I don't think it's in those. I think I have it upstairs. It's kind of the you know, you wear to church kind of, you know, that weekend of it or whatever. I think maybe I've worn it out once, but I need to, need to,
this winter,
maybe I need to embrace it. Maybe it,
it's
cold, you know, cold enough. We're getting,
and your hair's a little shorter these days.
It is toasty.
Like, gotta keep your head warm.
It is a toasty. So what do you think? You know, there's always this idea, and this isn't new, right? The idea of, automatic or machine based knitting or crocheting or they've invented machines that can do this, but has there been
knitting is the basis of binary code.
Oh, really?
Have I told you about this?
No, talk more about this.
Knitting
this
machines are the basis of basic computing, because knitting, for the most part, there's two stitches. There's either a knit stitch or a purl stitch, which basically means, does the bump go on the front of the work or the back of the work? You see how this is binary. And knitting machines would run along in rows, placing knit stitches and purl stitches in a row. You could write something in binary. And there were spies in various wars, who communicated by putting binary code in knitting and sending messages that way. Or hiding messages into like a ball of yarn and then chucking it down a hill. Oh, there's my lip balm that I was looking for. This is a true fact, a thing that happened.
That is also a code.
Yes. So knitting machines predate computers. But also, so punch cards are how knitting machines ran initially. I'm sure that there's with mass market like mass manufacturing of knitted items, there are computerized knitting machines, I'm sure. Yeah. But the ones that you can buy for your house are still just like punch cards and just like running a thing back and forth, the shuttle, or they're circular and they're hand cranked.
Okay.
But you could you can retrofit a drill to crank it for you.
So the punch cards would say front or back, right?
Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. They would say knit stitch or purl stitch.
Grind the thing and set it back, and then grind the thing and set it back. Oh, that's cool.
Well, you could make a punch card into a tube, and it would just keep running it through the machine over and over and over again. So then they were like, "Hey, what if we made these punch cards and put them into this giant calculator?"
Yeah, same thing.
And then that's how we got computers.
Nice.
That's a fun fact.
There you go. Did not.
Hey, women's hobbies are the reason why we have computers. There's your fun fact of the day.
I was thinking of like, you know, we have 3D printers that
you can knitting is kind of 3D printing.
You know,
in a way,
you could have your own like knitting machine that would be home based, and you would make hats or gloves or
anything. That is a thing. There are at-home knitting machines,
really?
Which is basically a 3D printer. Because if you think about filament, what's that look like?
Right,
that looks like a roll of filament.
It is a roll of filament, right?
It's a roll of filament.
Talk about you reminded me the other day that you hand spun some yarn, right?
I did not. My friend did. So this is some of the hand spun.
Talk about that process.
So spinning is also one of the oldest of technologies. With a wheel, you essentially take raw wool is a bunch of little tiny fibers that all work together and mesh together because they have scales. Along the strand of hair, there are scales that can rise up and down. And wool in particular, naturally the scales kind of stick out a little bit, and these are microscopic along the shaft of hair, but it means that the wool wants to lock together. It makes it sticky, and so spinning, you take the fiber and you kind of coax it into all of the fibers lining up, and then you put it through the wheel, and the wheel adds twist, and you take minimum two strands and you twist them the same direction, and then once you have two bobbins of strands that are twisted one direction, you then twist those two the opposite direction. If you've ever like looked really closely at like rope, it's a similar thing. You can see the two twists and how they interlock together, and that's the essential of spinning yarn.
You think you can just at some point it just come flying apart, like
you would think. So but it really wants to grab onto itself.
Yeah, it really does. It's like,
and that's why you can't machine wash raw wool, because the heat agitation and moisture of the washing machine will cause all of those fibers to lock up, and that's how you get felt, because the agitation makes everything get tighter and tighter and tighter, and it shrinks, becomes incredibly strong, which is how you get felted wool, which can be in itself fabric.
Felt sweater.
But if you like knit a sweater and then you felt it, it'll come out this size.
But maybe you knit a giant sweater and then put it, and then it shrinks to your size.
There's a really trendy slipper pattern right now that does exactly that, where you knit it extremely big and then you chuck it in the washing machine and it felts down to a shoe size.
By the way, these knitting machines on Amazon are like $50. Now, they're kind of designed for kids, right? They're circular.
Yes, I'm sure you're looking at a Centro. Yes.
Yeah.
Centro. But like flatbed knitting machines are metal and kind of look like torture devices. Like they're kind of scary. And they go...
It's like a weaving machine,
yes,
right? Some ways.
Yes, yeah. It's kind of like a loom, kind of like a 3D printer,
yeah,
a hybrid between those two things.
That's super cool. Okay, let's think about what else has changed for you. Anything else changed for you this year?
Has it? Oh my gosh. I rearranged my room, but that's...
Yeah, different orientation.
I got a different background right now. I think I'm just like settling in to my current job, just trying to make it work. It's working full-time and then doing school part-time is stressful. It's hard.
Yeah,
and I've been crunching a lot of numbers to make the finances work. Aggressive budgeting, meeting with a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Doing the
How'd
most.
That go? How'd that
it went
go?
Well. What, it went really
learn?
Good.
What'd you learn from? You're 27. You don't have a ton of money. 27. What'd you learn from? A lot of people would question seeing a financial advisor. Now,
yes.
In some cases, not everybody has the opportunity to do that. You're a credit union member. We have a investment arm that's a part of the Gallup Federal Credit Union called Guide Rock Capital. And I'm a member. And so, you know, that makes it easy when I say to the to the guys that run it, hey, Sammy wants to, he's got a few questions. What'd you learn through the process though?
So my job is strange because I have a pension plan because my job is a union job. And so my wages are all pre-negotiated 3 years in advance. And also the pension is negotiated. So automatically a flat percentage comes out of my paycheck, every paycheck, and just goes into the pension. I can't pay any more. I can't pay any less. And then that sits in the pension and accumulates interest. It's like a 3%-ish interest rate. And if you retire from the school district, then you have pension payouts basically in perpetuity. If you retire from the district after the adequate number of years, there's like, here's not only your money and the interest that you earned, but also all of the matching funds that the district gave to make sure that you're taken care of until you pass. But my plan is not to retire from the district, not to become a certified teacher. And so it's kind of tricky to know what to do with a pension when you leave.
Yeah.
And so that was the big question was like, what do I do with these funds that I've contributed in their interest? And the biggest thing was I can get a lot more money out of that money. I can make that money do more for me if I invest it. So we're going to have to do some IRA and then Roth IRA conversions. I got reminded of how a Roth works because I just have to I forget every single time. What do you know about Roth IRAs? I'm like, that I want one. And that's most of it.
It's easiest. It's just pre and post tax. Yeah. You won't get taxed.
He drew me some graphs on why that's good. He was like, this pie slice of money. You
or
only
if
pay
retire early for some folks. Yes. They're thinking of retiring earlier. And if you can build up a decent Roth and live off that Roth, it just makes.
Yeah. Just because I don't know what my next job will be, what the retirement account situation will be. Will I get a 401k through work? Will I not? Will I just keep investing in my retirement account independently? And also I just don't want the money that I am obligated to contribute to go to waste. Right. So I'm like, if I'm investing this money in not current bills, how can I make it work as hard as humanly possible for me and accumulate and grow? So that's really nice. So I got some good clarity on that.
That's good. It's good. And what I love about GuideRock, you know, those guys are not necessarily commissioned. And so it's part of our business, right? And so they don't mind having a conversation and then knowing when it's time for you to make that move. They're not, that dollar amount doesn't matter. They're about service and not about the dollar amount necessarily. And so that works out really well. Cause you can, it won't be a giant amount you'll be bringing over. Most financial advisors wouldn't even touch it. They'd just be like, well, just do something, kind of thing. And so, kudos to Ronnie and Will over there at GuideRock.
And they were so nice about helping a 27-year-old who is extremely risk averse and money conscious.
No, that's good. That's good. Though.
At this time in my life where I am bleeding cash into loan payments and tuition payments because I'm paying out of pocket for my current tuition.
Yeah.
So I don't go further into debt, which is why
I don't know who your dad is, but man, he's a rough guy. If you're, jeez. No.
It's fine. No, I want to do it. It's also not that expensive. Also, I get Pell Grants now because I'm based on my taxes, not your taxes.
Right.
Now the government's like, you're poor enough for me to give you money. And I get like the maximum amount.
Because I don't make that much money. You're in a sweet spot.
Yeah.
When I went to college, it was similar. I was married, had a couple kids already. And then it was I'd long been separated from my parents' taxes. In fact, I went off those the minute I joined the military. Filed.
You become an independent.
Very first year at 18, my first tax return. Maybe I was 19 when I filed my first tax return. But a little easier in those days. 1987 maybe have been my first. Well, 86. I would have filed for the year 86. A little easier. Not Listen, taxes have always been difficult, but in 86, yeah, it was a little bit easier to do that.
Fortunately, and mine are pretty straightforward. I can do the FAFSA in 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
Because my economic connect. Situation. Yeah, they just grab the info from the IRS. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. You just go, no, I don't qualify for any of these things. How much money are you going to give me?
Right. Had you gotten a new car last year by this time? Is that car you have you had that car a year now?
Oh, I had not quite. I had just wrecked my last one because I think
we still hadn't gotten it.
I got the Champ the third in December, maybe the first week of December. So I have a new car. Well, year. New What'd to me.
Yeah, new to you.
I have a 2015 Honda Civic. It's a nice blue color. I got it for less than all of the other 2015 Honda Civics were going for on the market. I got a good deal from the car dealership, and I have a great brother who's a mechanic who fixes it for me because my AC needed recharge and my drive belt needed replaced and my front brakes were nearly toast. It's just like, help me. So I just drive it up to his little bay at the car dealership he works at that he repairs cars for. And I just, on Saturdays, I just like sneak it in. He fixes my car. Yeah. So he's going to get a nice Christmas present.
Nice. That's a good way to... Yes. Good way to look at it that way. Yeah.
That's what family's about.
Two of your brothers are pretty good with cars, which is pretty nice. And, and the neighbors had told us your backup lights were out.
Yeah.
So you went out and bought the white ones.
Yes.
At least the bulbs for the white ones. And then what they really meant to say is your brake lights.
The brake light that gets really bright when you back up. So they meant that one.
You're gonna get those. You're gonna get.
So tomorrow I'll go over the auto parts store and do a hot swap. But Timmy opened up the back, and it's really easy to get to those bulbs.
Oh, good.
So
yeah,
you'll probably be able to replace them once I get the.
Or
right
I'll be able to help you replace them.
Yes, it's just a unplug and a plug. I just might need an extra set of hands so I don't break anything.
Yeah, that was. That was November, right? You got in the accident like November of last year.
15th, I think. And then, so it was like just like a week before Thanksgiving.
We went through the holidays and you picked up the car. You did the whole thing.
I did the whole thing. I looked at all the websites. I found it. We were carpooling to work because we work like 8 blocks away from each other. And he picked me up from work and I said, hey, I found a car. And he's like, let's go to the dealership. And we're like, we're going to be home late. And then we went to the credit union and got a loan. And then it was my car.
Credit union.
And it happened in like a week.
Yeah. No, it's super cool.
It was nice.
One more thing. Let's talk about summer for you because it's certainly time off. But
yes,
like this summer, probably not as successful as you were hoping for from a money.
Yeah.
And learn anything through the summer as you know, this is weird to try and find a job at 27 for.
Yes.
Like, unless you're
like
waiting
all
tables
of the summer jobs are honestly, even like waiting tables, like all of the anything that's a chain is understaffed since COVID. They're running on skeleton crews. They're barely staffed. They don't hire very often, and they don't. The things that the places that are hiring aren't paying very well, and they don't. They tend to not hire seasonal employees because there's so many full-grown adults who are having to work restaurant industry jobs full time. If not two jobs of that type, or a restaurant job and a gig job like DoorDash or something. Yeah. And so those jobs are just not available to younger people or people who are still in school, which is kind of the niche that I'm in because my schedule is like that of a college student. And so unless you want to do childcare or be a lifeguard or you have an in, like you always come back to the same place that you worked in high school, it's really hard to find something. I might look at hotel like night shifts at their front desks. That's a thought I have. I did summer school, but that's only for a month and it's only part time. So it wasn't super successful.
You
going
to do summer school again this year?
I haven't decided.
Okay.
I have not decided. Because I do, based on the conversation I had with Ronnie and Will, I do think I'm going to try and take a summer class.
Speed it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Do a class per summer to shave off a semester. And get through college faster and potentially get to a better job faster. Because their advice was accelerate my timeline of paying off debt and finishing school, which means pinching more pennies. Mm. So, you know, it's just stressful. I just think about money a lot.
Yeah.
Probably listen, more than I need to, but I worry.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. Like,
yeah,
you don't want it to ruin your life, but
no.
Worrying about it. And, you know, I think, when I went through college, we were married. I had two, we had Josh right after we graduated. Money was always short. It causes you to make different decisions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if I did one thing different, I'd hang out with people who didn't have a lot of money. Because it's tough. You're like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Kind of thing. I never had a lot of money. It always causes me, you know, my good friend, Ed, mm-hmm. Ed Sullivan, who you got the laptop from, right? He's always like, hey, I got this deal for you. You're always looking for a good deal.
He sold us a laptop for multiple boxes of cigars.
Yeah. I always have a hard time. I've had a hard time getting out of that mode just because we were in it for so long, you know, with five kids and one income basically for a lot of years. You know, that was the American dream for a long time, right? Of one income, house, car, kids, right? I did it. It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy. Sarah's back.
You were maybe the last person to pull it off before the economy decided that that's not feasible anymore.
I might be. Yeah, I might be. I might have been lucky from that standpoint to be able to get that done. But yeah. It's just one of those, you know, just one of those things. These times are not. This is why as your brothers go through this time. Mm-hmm. I don't get in the way because these are formative times and they change the way you think about money and
and you decide what you're about and you set your priorities really carefully.
Yeah.
When you have this much, you are so much more discerning. When you have this much money and this much time, you're so discerning about what you spend your money and time on.
Yeah.
And that really defines who you are. I'm having this organic thought in this moment. I haven't thought about this before, but it's very true.
I like it.
Having the therapies on the Home Gadget Geeks, but it is a formative time for your personality because you decide what's important.
No,
fortunately, I stockpiled yarn when it was super cheap and when Joann's was going out of business. So now I can just knit off of my stash through the rest of college.
And Joann's was a big market, you know, a big craft chain
store, and they private equity kind of. Sunk them.
Destroyed it.
The money was mismanaged, which is unfortunate. If only they had me. If only they had somebody who is extremely anxious about finances running their finances.
You need to be a CFO.
It's like, I don't have an accounting degree.
That's okay.
I could have gone that way. If I hadn't gotten the central job and I had worked at Beardmore, I might have pursued accounting.
Yeah.
Because they have a strong accounting department that I probably would have shadowed.
Beardmore is a local car
dealership. Yes, it's a local car dealership.
They own a bunch.
Family owned.
Yeah.
I
worked with one of the Beardmores for a couple years. Yeah, at work at Gallup.
I got offered that job, but then I got offered the central job. And I said, sorry, Beardmore, you guys were great, but I got a library job, which is what I really wanted.
As you think about 2026, hard to believe we're there already. 2026, if there was gadgets that you have your eyes on from a futures perspective, or what do you look at and like, man, if I wasn't pinching pennies at the moment, I would get this, and we'll kind of wrap it on this. Any thoughts on
that's a good question.
What's lingering out there that would be helpful to you? I feel like this is the time.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to the grocery store together and we do Secret Santa every year?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We draw names and I draw your name and I took you with me.
Two years in a row, he bought my Secret Santa stuff in front of my face.
I asked you,
heinous.
What do you think about
in
this?
The first year, you took me Secret Santa shopping and you said that you had already done it, but you had me and you went back and bought all the things I pointed out. And then the 2 years after that, you just bought them in front of me.
I did. Straight up in front of you.
Insane.
Straight up in front of you.
I was like, this man, the gall.
I got away with it.
You did. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
That was absolutely bonkers. And I was like, after the first year that you did it, I was like, surely you wouldn't do it again.
Oh, yeah. If it worked the first time, for sure I would.
This is why your career has been successful, because you've got the guts. You got the guts, you know, kid.
Stupidity, maybe. What are you looking? Anything looking ahead on any gadgets or anything?
I feel like I'm so set. I might be due for a new phone in the next 2 years, but I'm trying to milk my phone.
You've got a 13, right?
I have a 13, which turned out to be a good generation to buy because the
12 and 13
really,
were both good. I just got rid of the 12.
They've really lasted their course supported the software well. I don't know. My laptop's pretty good. I just got this brand new Remarkable. I have an iPad through work, which is nice. So I can't like download just any apps onto it, but it's nice to have a portable device.
I do too, and I never do anything on it. I have one in the studio at work. I got it for translations. I could put anything I want on it, but I just don't.
Yeah. You know? But why would you?
Yeah.
Is there anything?
Well,
thoughts? I think I'm so set. That's a really boring answer.
No.
I take care of my stuff and I make sure it lasts for ages.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a bad answer. I think with inflation raging and with income staying fairly flat, might be a good time to feel. I do feel a little bit like we're back in the 70s when everybody kind of buckled down a little bit. Like,
does feel that way,
right? And then really, even we went probably it wasn't until 84, 85 where we really broke out of that. Mm-hmm. And it felt different, right? So
everybody was spending money.
Bush for 4 years, and that was for some weird 4 years, and then Clinton came on, so the 90s were kind of like
what a time, right? The 90s.
Oh,
what
listen, you would have loved it. You would have loved it. The 90s were crazy.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Listen, maybe it's just because I've lived through multiple recessions, but especially 2008. Yeah. I just don't trust economic prosperity. Yeah. I just don't. I'm like, you know what? It's going to recede.
You should never trust any of those things, but you've got to do something, right? You have to have some. It'd be easy for me right now. You know, I'm 7 years away from retirement for the most part. Till I get 65, do the math, right? And you know, it'd be easy for me to be like, I don't think nothing's going to be there. Well, you can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. You have to do something, right? You know, you have to do something. So, well, Sammy, good to catch up. As always, good to catch up with you on the show. Here, you're a much beloved guest on here for your once a year.
Thanks.
Catch up. I think the guys love to hear from you. You know, most of the listeners are dads here. You know,
so true. And I've had a roller coaster of my 20s.
Yeah.
It's been
still
crazy.
Have a ways to go. You still got a ways to go, right?
I got 3 years left.
You know, we gotta get through that.
Well, man, the Thanksgiving, the Black Friday special when I turn 30. We'll have to come back.
Yeah, we'll see if we're
we'll have to do a one-off
podcasting at that point.
Even if you're not, we'll come back and we'll do one.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
Even if nobody listens to it, we got to do it.
Well, behind the scenes, you and I, Mom, Sarah, have been talking about, you know, at one point I was kind of like, hey, I think I'm going to roll this thing up. I think we'll have Sammy, we'll have Christian next week. I think I'm done. And then I started thinking about it, and we had a failed episode with Aaron Lawrence that I got to pull Aaron back in because it didn't work. And then Jay Franzi reached out to me, and he was like, hey, I wrote this album with AI as music. I was like, oh, I got to do that. And then I was like, I tell you what, I'm just going to keep going, and I'll take long breaks. So just I'm warning you now, regular listeners, got Christian coming up, a week off. Jay Franzi's coming on the 18th, I think it is, in December here. He wrote a super cool album, all AI. He even took it to Nashville and had a couple studio musicians record this.
Yeah, because he wrote the lyrics, right, and then had AI produce it.
Yeah, he wrote the lyrics. Got a little AI help from the lyrics, too. The 18th. It sounds awesome. So anyways, join me on December 18th. Jay's going to come in. I'm going to take a long break. So probably into mid-January or so, maybe even end of January, come back in February. We'll get Aaron Lawrence back on the show. TJ, I know you're here tonight. I owe you a show, and we'll get you back in here. And we'll I may not podcast as many episodes. Got a lot of things going on in 2026. My work schedule has picked up significantly.
And I have been going through some changes lately.
Yeah, I got.
We're both riding the wave.
In my work schedule, in a good way. It's just, it's
getting, different.
It's getting busy. Yeah, I'm putting in a lot of nights.
Yes.
So as well as days. So I just won't be podcasting as much, but we are live every Thursday or most Thursdays, or maybe not even most anymore. We're live Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central.
It's always Thursday, though, except on Black Friday.
Yeah, this is the Black Friday show. I need to incorporate that into the – I'm going to look back, too, and see what number this is as far as you and I doing this. But we
– I'm going to guess it's 4. Because there was there was one year I didn't do it with you because I didn't have anything to talk about because I was in a weird year.
You were in a bad spot. Let's just
having a bad time. That was the crap out. That was because that was the month that I ended up
decided not to do UNO anymore.
Quitting school.
Yeah.
Changing jobs. There was something else that I did. I just like changed everything. Oh, I finally got my driver's license. Like I just like turned my whole life on its ear, and it turned out to be for the best, but it was a chaotic 2 months.
Yeah. I remember asking you, we're going to do this. And you were like, no,
I got nothing. I got like, no positive.
Yeah, you were like, I was like, there's so many good things to talk about. And you were like, no.
No.
And maybe I made a good decision as a dad not to push it.
Yeah.
And
but the next year, the episode was fire because everything was different.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. You'd really pulled yourself out. So it was super cool. Well, a couple reminders on the way out. One, if you want to join the Discord group, join us at theaverageguy.tv/Discord. And lots of great conversation going on there. Black Friday deals are plentiful in the Discord group. It's maybe a little late now at this point, but good place to be. Randy Walker, thank you for putting those in there all the time. He's a good contributor to that, and I appreciate that. If you I will remind you, the Average Guy TV, the averageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust, and you know that's Christian, right? You know Maple Grove Partners is Christian. Yes. Check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com, and Christian's here next week. So we celebrate 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Isn't that 15
years?
That's
a long time. That's crazy.
Yeah, how old? You were like 12?
I was 10.
Yeah.
I was 12. 12. In my brain, I'm still 25. It's 2025. That's why. I was 12. That was a long time ago.
What grade does that put you in?
Seventh.
Were we listening to Taylor Swift on the car?
Yes. Yes.
15 years ago.
That's yes.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Taylor Swift has been making music since like 2008, dude.
Okay. That's true.
Her career has been long.
I will say on some future shows, I've been all of a sudden, you know, when I decided I was gonna kind of like maybe sunset. Close up Home Gadget Geeks permanently, all of a sudden everybody in the world started contacting me, like, hey, could you do so in upcoming weeks? EBL has sent me some batteries. I've got some AA and some AAA batteries. Interesting. I actually bought some more because we want to test them in the we have a faucet that is smart, but it's still battery. I should have converted that thing to the plugs before. We're going to give those a try.
It's fine.
So those are
but coming
they sent
in, four and you need six.
Yeah, they sent four and I need six. So I bought eight. So now I have 12. So now I have a set in. And if it works, set in and a set charging, set in, set charging. They go about every once a quarter or something like that. So pretty good. We'll talk. I'm going to do a whole battery show. So hang tight on that one. Yeah. I've learned a lot as I've been looking into these batteries. And then Govee sent me some outdoor Christmas lights. They're not really Christmas lights. They're holiday lights. And so these are the big, maybe an inch in diameter. These are like set them. These aren't the green cheap ones you buy. Like I've always bought the, these are kind of legit, like outdoor, like RGB, bougie.
Yeah.
So those just came.
How did they know that we have lights on our porch?
I know. And permanently we leave them there. The green ones.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I want to know if you're listening. I want to know this. If you're a podcast listener. Have you put up Christmas lights? Do you leave them up? And how long have they lasted? Like, I have a set. I'm going on 2 years, but or maybe three. But I think most of the guys are like, yeah, they won't last very long. So do you have a, you know, and I'm talking about the cheap green, you know, the little, the wires, if you, you, they fly apart, right?
Yeah. And they tangle if you look at them wrong.
Oh, speaking of that, we got to set our tree up. Have we planned? Do we have a plan for that?
We have not. Mom and I talked about where we're going to put it. I think we're going to put it where the entry table is so we don't have to move any furniture.
Okay.
We should do that.
Put it where?
Where the entry table is.
Oh,
I guess move the entry table. But we don't have to move any couches. We don't want to lose any seating. Our family's so big. We really got to maximize living room seating these days.
That's true.
It's treacherous.
All right. Well, now you know. You know. You know what's going on at the Collison House again. Sammy, thanks for joining me, and I'll be back next week with Christian Johnson. Maybe this is weird to think. 666 is next week.
Whoa. See the number down here?
665.
Auspicious? Is that no? What's the opposite of auspicious?
Should I skip it?
No.
No. You don't. You
it's like
I mean, I don't believe in jinx. I only act like
me
that.
Either. I'm not. But, I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious, but not about numbers.
Just stitious.
Just a little superstitious. That's superstitious. Just a little stitious. I like black cats, and I don't believe in numerology. But there are certain things. I'll knock on wood. You know, try not to jinx things.
Okay.
Trying to put all my eggs in one basket.
Okay. All right. Well, 666 is next week with Christian. You might want to join us live. This might be the one. Yeah, Jim Shoemaker's out there. He says Mark of the Beast. You might want to, I might need some of your mojo next week with Christian to do 666. So get out here. Join me live Thursday night, 8 p.m. next week. I think that's the third. And Sammy, thanks for coming on and doing this with me. And with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.